Good morning, Sojourners United Church of Christ.
Good morning.
What a joy it is to be here this morning. What a joy it is to finally be here this morning. This is like 8 months in the making. Since the time that I initially was hoping to be with you today, but God's timing is the right time.
That's right.
And because God's timing is the right time, I'm here for this wonderful occasion to install your pastor, Karen. So I am so thrilled to be here today to take part in this. And I'm glad I wasn't here in September. With that said, it's wonderful to be here. Thank you for your hospitality. Thank you, Bethany. You are amazing wherever you are, because you're everywhere. And thank you, choir, for that beautiful song. Loved it. Thank you very much. But without further ado, you're here to give a sermon, although one of the young people gave a really good sermon already. So it's going to be hard for me to follow up, but I'll do the best I can with your prayers. May we pray together. Holy God, we give you thanks for your word, and we need a word today. May there be one. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. So when I'm asked to deliver a sermon for an installation of a pastor, it's my custom to ask that pastor if they would like for me to speak from a particular text. So I asked Pastor Karen, and she asked if I would speak from today's lesson from Mark's Gospel. The parable of the sower, portrayed beautifully in video. Explosions and all. Famous not only because it's the only parable where Jesus actually explains the parable of Scripture. And it's so important that it's one of only three parables that you will find in all the Gospels except John. You will find the parable of the sower in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And in all three stories, the story is the same. In all three Gospels, the story is the same. God is the sower, the seed is the word or the gospel, and the soil is the heart of folks who hear it. Now, parables were well around before Jesus' time. And they were intended always to convey some kind of moral lesson. But Jesus took the traditional notion of a parable and kind of twisted it on its ear because he wanted to say something that was surprising, even shocking, about the nature of God and what God desired for God's people. And he said something that was shocking about the reign of God compared to the empire in his time. And arguably, in today's political climate, the would-be empire in our time. So I want to lift up two things from this famous parable that I think would be important for you, Pastor Karen, and for you sojourners on this very important day. And the first thing I want to lift up from the parable is that that God, who is a sower, continually sowed the seed. Whether the seed fell on path or on rocky ground or on ground with thorns, the farmer, the sower, kept on sowing. Jesus offers no indication in the text that the sower ever stopped and took any kind of rest after sowing the seed, even after the harvest. So at risk of even stretching the story a little further, I want to submit to you that God has not stopped sowing seeds to this very day. There's a natural tendency, whether it was for those to whom Jesus spoke when he said in this parable, or for any of us reading the text today, to go, well, what kind of soil am I? Am I the soil that happened to find its way on the path? Am I the rocky soil? Am I the soil that's choked with thorns? Am I good soil? But in truth, my friends, I don't think any of us are one type of soil. We're all of the above. I believe that the landscape of our lives contain all those possibilities of being a soil. We human beings have a way of always thinking in binaries. We always think we either got to be this or we got to be that. But that's not, I think, the possibility of who we are. There are times when the soils of our hearts can change at any time. There are times when, and in the parable, when the evil one comes and snatches up what was within us. There are times when we have to admit that we fall short, we blow it. They call it sin, and we fall short of the glory of God. There's times when we're trying to follow Jesus as best we can, but then something comes up. Trouble happens, a medical crisis, a lost job, a sudden death of a loved one, and then all that stuff that's been planted in our soul sometimes just gets lost in all of that. And there are times when the soil of our hearts are choked with thorns. When Luke's version says that we can be choked with the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of this world. That can happen through social media. Yep. That can happen when you just watch any newscast. That can happen with just trying to make ends meet from day to day. When, in the words of Herbert Hoover, one of our another least favorite president, trying to make ends meet when somebody's moving the ends. And that, I want to just submit to you that that's the state of our soil every day. But Jesus is pointing to this parable to not only to who we are and our nature as human beings, but the nature of God. And what Jesus is saying is that God just keeps on sowing those seeds so that we might experience those moments where our soil is good. Where the soil of the gospel or the word of God takes good root and we bear fruit, whether individually or collectively, we can bear fruit together as a church that we never imagined bearing. So what I want to submit to you today is that God is continually farming within us. God is continually sowing within us. And I want to submit to you today that there's grace in that sowing. There's mercy in that sowing. There's forgiveness in that sowing. There's love in that sowing. It's a love that's not only steadfast, but it's a relentless kind of love. There's an old hymn of the church that says it's a love that will not let us go. And it's God's steadfast love that keeps on sowing so that we can bear fruit for the world. I think that's good news, don't you?
Yes.
If you do, say amen indeed.
Amen.
Because that's good news not just for us, it's good news for the world.
Yes.
And the second thing I want to lift up in the parable of the sower is that is the way that the sower sows the seed, if you will, of the gospel. Pastor Karen selected this parable because she said that it resonates with her as a farmer of vegetables and blueberries and goats and chickens, formerly a pig farmer, which I actually resonate with because I am the grandson of pig farmers, tobacco farmers, vegetable farmers, and chickens, from my birthplace, which is about 150 miles southeast of here in South Hill, Virginia. So while some of you may not resonate with Karen, or may resonate with me, everybody who listened to that parable would have resonated with what Jesus was saying. Because farming of figs and olives and grapes and wheat and barley was the main source of income in Jesus' time. But let me tell you this, no farmer then or no farmer now would let good, expensive seed, right? fall on rocky path, rocky ground, or ground covered with thorns. Farming in Jesus' day was very much like farming today, where the farmer plants a seed on fertile soil, plows the soil so that it can be fertile enough to get a good crop to harvest. Farmers, whether they're sowing seeds in a garden or whether it's a gardener who's sowing a beautiful flower, do so with a plan. But this sower apparently has no plan. No business proposal in this one. No smart goals in this kind of farming. No 5-year strategic plan in this sowing of this seed. They just seem to be flinging it all around anywhere. They just do it in random, practically on any surface that they can find. There's an infamous episode of the Oprah Winfrey Show where she gives a car to everybody in the audience. And if you remember, she goes, "You get a car, you get a car, you get a car." Everybody gets a car. And in this, and yet in this parable, it's like the God, the sower, is going, "You get seed, rocky ground, you get seed, thorny ground, you get seed, path, you get seed, good ground, everybody gets seed." And yet, it produces an unimaginable harvest. Imagine that. And it says that it's such a harvest, such that a farmer, any farmer, would never imagine a crop like this. The farmer would have been happy for a crop that was 2 times what they had sown in Jesus' time. If the whole town would have been happy, if it had produced 5 times what was sold. But then Jesus says, no, this soil, when it landed, produced 60, 30, or 100 times fold what was planted. What's that saying for us today, my friends? It's saying that God's generosity with the gospel and what the gospel can do when it's planted is something we never imagined or dreamed. Something that bears fruit not just for us as those who farm, but for many, far more people than we ever imagined. That's important today, sojourners, as you install Pastor Karen, because you have to understand that it is not the job of the church to determine what ground should or should not get the seed. It is the job of the church to sow the seed, get out of the way, and let the seed do its thing. Amen?
Amen.
The problem with the church today, that it tends to use the farming techniques with the gospel the same way farmers in the Shenandoah Valley would grow corn and soybeans and other fruits and vegetables. And it's like if you're flying cross country, you see all those nice little rows of farming and plants coming up and everything. But that's not the way the church needs to farm. We get it wrong as a church when we try to sow the gospel in nice little rows. We get it wrong when we declare who God does and does not love. We get it wrong when we gatekeep who is in and who is out of the reign of God. We get it wrong when we determine that only men can either speak in the pulpit or serve in leadership roles. We get it wrong when we decide who God fully embraces in the life of the church in the way of sexual orientation or gender identity. We get it wrong when we welcome immigrants from some countries and unjustly deport immigrants from other countries. Friends of God, if we sow the seeds the way we've always been sowing, we can be assured we're going to get the harvest that we've always been getting. And it's going to fall short of the kind of harvest that God can have for us. So I'm on this important day. I want to charge you, sojourners and Pastor Karen, to dare to try God's haphazard, slapdash, all over the place way of farming techniques. Good. I'm going to charge you even further. Because if and when you do, you can too create an unimaginable harvest for the church, an unimaginable harvest for the Charlottesville area, an unimaginable harvest for the country, an unimaginable harvest for the world. Now, we in the United Church of Christ have proclaimed for years that God is still speaking. We've said that for a very, very long time. And yet the question before us today that the parable poses is this one. Do we have ears? I'm not talking about the two physical organs on the sides of your heads. I'm talking about the ears of your heart. I'm talking about the ears of your mind. I'm talking about the ears of your soul, the spiritual ears. Because Jesus says in this, at the end of our text, let anyone with ears listen. And listening with one's ears is way different than hearing with one's ears. According to our dear friends at Wikipedia, listening means giving attention to a sound or action. And that when a person hears what others, listening is about hearing what others are saying and trying to go that extra step and understanding what it means. So I want to charge you, Pastor Karen and Sojourners, to listen. Listen to where God is still speaking. Listen to the voices of people and places where God's seed need to be sown. Because the harvest that Jesus is talking about, this amazing harvest, is one where clearly everyone has plenty. Well, the opposite of plenty is famine. And today in this country and in this world, there are too many people suffering from famine of some kind. The consequences of famine are malnutrition, starvation, disease, and death. We need a harvest, don't we? We need a harvest for our African-American siblings who are suffering from a malnutrition of identity and dignity and potential because of figurative and literal whitewashing of history and newly selected erected glass ceilings because of dismantling of DEI initiatives everywhere. Amen. We need a harvest for thousands of federal workers who are real public servants, who are starving for a sense of purpose and now being threatened with not only professional starvation, but physical starvation because they've been unjustly and unfairly fired from their jobs. We need a harvest for people, for our immigrants, political refugees, and asylum seekers who are being accused with crimes never committed and deported because of a disease in this country called xenophobia caused by fear and bigotry. We need a harvest for our transgendered siblings who are literally in fear of their lives because of physical attacks on the streets and legislative attacks everywhere else. My friends, too many people are suffering from a famine of injustice and unrighteousness. And we need all ears on deck to listen to the voice of God. And then once we've heard God's voice, we need all hands on deck to do God's work in the world and to be good farmers and just sow that seed wherever it needs to go. Amen?
Amen.
Back in the day, there was a song by the legendary R&B group called the Isley Brothers. You might know them as Twisted Shout back in the day. But musically, they posed this question. When will there be a harvest for the world? Pastor Karen and Sojourners, I believe you can produce a harvest for the world today. But as your conference minister and taking some privilege, I'm giving you a pass today. Because I want you to celebrate. I want you to celebrate what God has done in your midst by joining you, church, and you, pastor, together. So you get a pass today. But you don't get a pass tomorrow. Because we need you like a good farmer to wake up early, put on your spiritual overalls and suspenders, eat a good breakfast, like a good Bob Evans breakfast of some kind, and get out of the house and get onto the soil with your spiritual tools in hand. And then together, pastor and church, listen to where God needs you to sow. And disseminate it, scatter it, fling it accordingly, so that you together may produce an inconceivable, unimaginable, and incredible harvest for the world. May you do that together through Jesus Christ. Amen.